Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to Engaging Walk. My name is Drake and today is the 14th of June. We are halfway through this crazy, crazy year of 2024. I know we haven't had any episodes so far for this month, but we anticipate, you know, being back on a schedule and having episodes regularly, more regularly, but sometimes those challenges of having a newborn at home are just really difficult to overcome. So we're going to do our best, but we really can't make any promises until we, like, you know, are a little bit past that brand new newborn stage. It's, you know, it's a great challenge, but it's an amazing opportunity. And we love being new parents, Ruby and I. She's busy. She's at a homeschool convention actually right now as we speak. And she's having a great time there learning new things about homeschooling. We're probably going to be doing an episode on that. And so pretty soon we're going to be doing our 5 C's of connection. That's going to be coming up. It's a great series of that we're really looking forward to doing with you guys. And hopefully Ruby will be back for that. I know she really wants to do it. So we're going to hold off a little bit and cover some other different topics that are really important and pressing to us right now. And so again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you like this content, if you like Engaging Walk podcast, make sure to share it with friends, family, people that you know from either like church or work that you think could really use a conversation and some content around marriage, parenthood, dating. These types of topics are what we cover with Engaging Walk. Engaging Walk is all about going out into a walk and engaging each other and having that opportunity to talk about really difficult topics and important topics with your partner. You know, the whole idea behind it is that when we go out and we adventure together into the world, as we go out and we adventure with each other into the world, we also cover topics. And that's like an easy time, or the best time rather, I think, or we believe, to really have those difficult conversations or conversations that can sometimes be left out in a marriage and in dating, where you sort of get into a routine, right? And going out into an engaging walk, a new place, a new area, having a topic that you want to talk about, whether it be goals or dreams or things that will really refresh the marriage, refresh that relationship that you're having, and give it a new spice, give it a new variety. And the whole idea behind it is that we don't take our marriage and our relationship with our significant other or our wife or our husband, and we don't take it for granted that we are constantly putting energy into it. We're putting our 100 into the marriage, because I believe, and we believe here at Engaging Walk, that so much of the most important things that we do in life is in family. Whether that be as a husband or as a wife, as a father or as a mother, those the amount of energy that goes into it and is so rewarding, because the personal life that you have that I've come to realize is so meaningful. And I've been really blessed to have paternity leave during this time so that I can focus on the family. And, you know, having this time together to spend with my wife and our newborn, you know, and, you know, our little girl, and having that time to bond and to like do new things and to learn about being a parent, learn about providing for an infant, is an amazing, amazing experience. And I think that there's a lot of people my age, like mid 30s or so, that are, you know, they're finally starting to get into the family life. You know, I think the my generation is millennials. And I think millennials put off having families, a good percentage of us put off having families until around this time, like mid-30s, early 30s. And of course, you know, we were told back then that like there's a lot of things that you're going to want to do with your life, and being a parent is really difficult and you want to make sure that you're ready for it, so you want to do it later on in life. But what I've come to realize is I think that you that as a new parent, like you, at least for me, like your whole like life sort of like resets once you see your child for the first time. you know, out of the womb, of course, and like, you know, you're not counting an ultrasound, but like when you see the baby for the first time and you're like, wow, that's my daughter or that's my son. And my whole life is going to be different now. And my needs come way down, especially as a father, like they come way down on the list now. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because this little person needs me for everything. You know, they can't even hold their head up. They can't even sit up. They can't, they are just totally helpless. And the only thing that they can do is scream for whatever it is that they need, whether it be nourishment or affection or comfort, you know, having their diaper changed. Like, the only thing that they can do is say, like, help, 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 I need help, you know, and they just cry. And the crying and is like insane at times, you know, especially when the baby is new, is like the going through like their purple crying, and you're like, oh my God, just please stop crying. Like, I'm trying my best to soothe you. And it's really challenging for the dad, especially because, you know, we just finally got through this period of like, I think it was like probably like 2 or 3 weeks where like, she didn't want anything to do with me. Like I was like, I want to help. I want to help my wife, you know, but like, I'm doing more harm than good by picking her up. She just wails, you know, but I was like, we have to keep trying. We have to keep at it so that she gets used to me handling her, because the worst thing that we could do, I thought at the time, was like, you know, just you meaning my wife being the only one that can handle her, because, you know, you're going to need rest and you're going to need time to go to the gym and get your nails done and, you know, refresh, restart. And how am I going to do that? You know? And it's actually engaging walk. It was like, I'd realized like I have a stroller and I can put her in the stroller. She really likes the stroller. And if she cries, well, I'll deal with that when it comes, when the time comes. And it was during that time that I started putting her into the stroller. And I was like, hey, and my wife would be like, no, don't put her in. She's going to scream. And I was like, I'm not listening to you. Go take a nap. We'll be back in like an hour. And I would take her out and she wouldn't cry. And she loved being in the stroller and she would just fall asleep. And, you know, and that sort of changed things around. And then when I bring her home, she was like in a good mood, and I'd put her in the changing station and, you know, change her diaper and get her, you know, ready to eat again. And it was during that time that she really started like cooing a lot and talking. Like, she'd be like, ow, oh, how, you know, and she's like only 2 months old. So she's just discovering like her hands, and she's just discovering like that she can talk to us and we can have like conversations. And she really opened up to me about that. And like, that was like this huge rewarding experience for being persistent and being not taking offense to this fact that she didn't want anything to do with me for like 3 weeks. I just kept trying. And then finally, like, we got over it, you know, and she was like, she's okay with me now. She still prefers her mom, but, you know, she will tolerate me a lot longer. And, I definitely have to work harder for her to be calm than my wife does, you know, which is totally understandable because like the mother is such a like a comforting presence to a newborn. But it feels good to be able to connect with her and have these rich experiences and all that. And it was during that time that I started doing a lot of research about parenthood and like all the different challenges, because that wasn't one that I anticipated. And I remember feeling like hurt during that time, like my daughter doesn't want anything to do with me. Like, you know, of course she's an infant and like she's just doing what makes sense for her at this early, very, very early stage in her life. But it never, nonetheless, it hurt to, you know, every time I pick her up, she's like, screaming. And then I give her back to my wife and she's just like, okay, this is great. I love this. Thank you. You know, I'm like, hey, let me try again. You know, she starts screaming again and it hurt. And then I remember feeling like frustrated and angry, and that was when I decided, like, okay, well, let me do some more reading about this. Let me see what people say about this. And of course, this is you know, a very well-known phenomenon that happens with newborns. But more so, this also happens when the child is a toddler and the child, you know, is testing boundaries and not listening and can, you know, really, really push your buttons. And if an infant can do it with, like, incessant crying, the purple crying, you know, then of course a toddler can do it. And the things that I started researching and the things I started reading make a lot of sense. And it comes down to this idea of the people that you care about the most have a ability that other people don't have, which is that they can hurt you very sharply. And, you know, I don't know who said this, but it's so true that no one can annoy you like your mom can. And what I'm starting to realize now as a parent, no one can annoy you like your child can. And that feeling of, like, being annoyed or being angry or being, like, upset with a child is natural, actually. And coming to grips or coming to terms with the reality that it's natural, that it comes from stress. And this idea of, like, when the baby is screaming like that and you've been trying for an hour or 45 minutes to, like, calm the baby down, like, you know, you just feel, like, frustration, stress, all these things come pouring at you. And of course it's natural. It's natural that you're would feel stressed, right? Because it's a stressful event. You're, like, trying to do everything that you can for this baby. And of course it would work the same with a toddler, that, like, you know, the toddler is just, like, won't do what you say. And you're trying to convince them and nothing's working. And that feeling of, like, I'm a bad parent. I'm not doing this right. I'm not equipped for this. Like, I need help. This little person who's half me, half my wife is not listening to me, not working with me, making things, like, really, really difficult. And we can get into this loop of negative emotion, staying in this, like, primitive, like, mindset of, like, of just, like, anxiety and fear and stress. So what can we do to mitigate that? And what can we do to get beyond that? I remember one time, you know, this was, like, maybe she was, like, 1 week old, and we had just gotten back from the hospital, and she was getting up, like, every hour, and I didn't sleep for, like, 3 or 4 days. And then to come home, I came home under the conditions that, like, were not optimal, because my mother was staying with my wife and I at the time. And, like, I won't get into the details, but my mother didn't make things, like, easier when we first got home. In fact, she made things more difficult. So there was this added stress from, like, that my mother was bringing, and the added stress of the baby, and then the added stress of, like, not sleeping for 4 days, and then, like, and now I'm getting up, like, every hour. And then my whole objective was to get my wife to rest, because she had just given birth, and she had a C-section. So she really couldn't be up and about too much to do really much of anything. She needed to be bed rest. She needed to be on bed rest, and she needed, you know, to breastfeed the baby. And, you know, we were doing our best with that. And I remember just feeling so frustrated and so angry while I was feeding her, because, like, I had just had enough. And I was like, well, why am I feeling like this? Well, of course, you know, the sleep deprivation and all these other things that were coming into play But then I realized, like, well, another reason why I'm feeling so upset is because I feel like I'm not doing this right. And me feeding her, like, I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, I've never fed like a newborn before. She's our first child. And I remember this cycle that we would go through where I would feed her and then put her down and then she would spit up. And I was like, okay, well, let me pick her back up and burp her some more. And then that became fine-tuned where I would put her down and she'd wake up. I'm like, okay, well, maybe she needs to eat more. So I would feed her because I heard from the nurse, like, hey, if the baby's up, you know, they're hungry. So I was like, okay, let me try and feed her some more. She spit up. Okay, well, now I got to change her diaper. Now she's wailing, you know. Okay, well, let me try to put her back to sleep, feed her. You know, she spits up. And then it just gets into this cycle of like, well, she's, you know, I'm not sleeping. Like, and the only time that I could get her to sleep, because again, this is in the night and I would take the night shift so that my wife could take over during the day, was like, the frustration was that I didn't understand how to get her into a routine. And I was trying so hard because, you know, it's a very delicate balance of like, okay, how much do you feed them, the baby, and then they can sleep and then hold them up, you know, and burp them, let them digest, put them down and, you know, swaddle them so that they can sleep peacefully for like an hour. At this point, like for like an hour, because you've already burped them for like 20 minutes and now you know, hold them up for like another 40 and then you put them down. So then I started getting the hang of it and I was like, okay, well, let me feed her halfway through, change her, or like just like a, like 20% through, change her diaper. So then now that way, when she finishes, she has a fresh diaper and then I can just put her to sleep. I don't have to wake her up after she's done eating and change her diaper. Just like all these little things. And then it became a machine and then it became a routine. And it took that acknowledgement of like, why am I angry? Why am I so frustrated? What am I doing wrong that we have to do as parents in order to get to a new solution, in order for us to get a new mindset, in order to be able to assess and take care of our baby's needs, our child's needs. And this is applicable from the research that I've been doing, you know, for all the way up to into till the teenage years, because if we as parents aren't able to assess and take care of their needs and role model the problem solving that we want them to utilize, you know, with empathy and with all these other like higher order thinking skills, with not just like yelling, and we'll get into that in a bit, but the more that we can model these things for our child, that is what they're going to use. They're not going to use what we tell them or like the lessons that we teach them. We have to literally show them. And I remember having this conversation with my wife where, like, you know, after my mom, my mother helped a lot. I'm not trying to say that she didn't help. It's just in the very beginning when we came home with the baby, she wasn't a lot of help. She just was kind of like making things more difficult. But after we had a conversation, she like, you know, she changed and she was really helpful after that. Because she flew in from my hometown of Boston to come stay with us in San Diego to help out with that first month of recovery for my wife and, you know, for helping out with the baby. And after that, my wife's parents come from Vietnam and they're staying with us. And it's during that time that they're like, oh, you're spoiling the baby. Like, don't pick the baby up too much. And, you know, every time the baby cries, and like, that's like old school style of thinking. And like from the research that I've done, which is like, you can't spoil. And and my wife and I agreed on this, but before we had the baby, like we were doing this research when she was pregnant, which is you can't spoil a newborn. The newborn relies on you, the parent, for everything, like literally everything. The only thing that the baby can really do on its own is suck and breathe. That's it. And you have to teach the baby pretty much everything else. And that's a huge challenge. And the baby needs to feel safe with you. The baby needs to feel comforted and needs to feel like you can actually be relied upon in order to bring the baby's needs. And from the research that I've seen is that the more that you do this into a routine of like constantly assessing, constantly taking care of the baby and taking care of their needs and not getting into this idea that you can spoil them, that the easier that they will actually be as toddlers in order to, that they're more comforted, that they're more easily comforted as toddlers. And then that makes a lot of sense to me, because if the baby's first year is just like a routine of, you know, I get my diaper changed, I get fed, I get put to sleep, we go out on strolls, you know, we do our tummy time, we do all these things on a routine basis, we read books, then they get used to this idea of routine. And we've modeled for them empathy intrinsically and innately, because in order for us to figure out what the baby needs, we have to kind of put ourselves in their shoes. Now, obviously, this becomes more of a challenge when they're toddlers. There's a certain amount of things that we have to do to get into a mindset of being able to help the child. And a lot of this comes from our brains, right? Makes sense. Because our base brain is the fight, flight, freeze response. And when we're hyper-stressed during this time of disciplining the child or getting into arguments or yelling or utilizing methods that, that we've seen. And then, if we're stressed and we're reacting from that position, then we're going to default to what's known to us, right? So, again, I'm a millennial. I'm 37 years old. And when I was a child, we were spanked. You know, we'd be spanked by just about anybody, whether it be, mom, grandparents, any one of them would hit us if we were, acting up or, very often they used threats, they used punishment. And that sort of reaction, that sort of reactive parenting is coming from that primitive brain area, because again, if the parent is stressed, they're not able to come up with creative solutions to the problem. They're not able to model empathy and then bring about a conversation that can lead to a resolution to the problem, or to show the child hey, this is the problem. Let's talk about it. Let's try to figure it out together. None of those things are happening if we're from that really stressed state. And all the more advanced techniques that could be available. Excuse me. All the things that could be available to us as a more advanced techniques are go out the window if we're that stressed out. And we're coming from a place of, again, fight, flight, or freeze response. And that's not the type of behavior that we want to model for our children. And I think children nowadays, my daughter's Generation Alpha. And I think that they really benefit from this this new way of thinking about parenting, because, again, I was spanked as a child. Hit with belts, hit with all sorts of different objects that, whatever my mother or my grandmother would find in the house. And I think those memories stick out more than good times, that you remember much more vividly the fear, anxiety, and distress of being physically abused by your parents and grandparents than you do the good times. And that does a disservice to the parents and their memory and all of the the difficulties that they go through as parents, because being a parent is very difficult. And if your children grow up to be 30, 35, 40, 50, and you're on your deathbed as a 80, you know, 7-year-old person, and your child, who's now an adult, their most vivid memories of you is, you know, punishments, abuse, being hit, all those kinds of things, then it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad for the child and for the parent that there's that disconnect. And I know, like, some people are like, oh yeah, I'm very thankful that my mother hit me. I don't think so. I think that there's better strategies and there's better ways of going about it that really actually teach and role model and show, not just teach, but show a child, this is how you solve problems. This is how you connect, by being mindful about your anger, being mindful about your state of mind. And that sort of mindfulness is what's needed in the beginning stage of, like, okay, well, I'm recognizing that I'm angry. I'm recognizing that I'm annoyed, you know, and going from there to, why am I annoyed? What's happening internally? And that process helps you grow up and deal with the wounds that maybe your parents gave you or your grandparents gave you. And then we can, of course, like, stop that cycle and not do it to our children. And I think Generation Alpha, you know, for how many thousands of years has that been the method of disciplining children? You know, I mean, children weren't even really viewed as, like, full people for, like, you know, however many, like, hundreds and hundreds of years, or who knows how people thought about children back then. But, you know, when we look at, like, novels from, like Jane Eyre, like, 19th, this would be like 18th century British novels, that, you know, like, children were just, there was a movement of just starting at that point, in at least in England, of, like, children being recognized as as, like, people with feelings. And that just kept growing, where, you know, children were working in mines, children were working in, like, all sorts of conditions that, you know, required child labor laws. And then my generation, millennials, we were, like, kind of like the last generation that was able to play outside and do all these amazing things. But we were also kind of like the last generation that was, like, it was acceptable to, like, hit the children, if that makes sense. So we're moving into a trajectory where children are valued more, the children are analyzed more, and then we as parents have to up our game and recognize, yes, the things that I do and say to my child will model for them, like, how they will act in the world. The tools that I show them of problem solving, of, you know, having conversations, of discourse, dialogue, the way that I am as a person, the way that I deal with boredom, the way that I deal with food, the way that I deal with finances, that those are all of the lessons that I'm going to teach my child, not from a PowerPoint, not from, like, sitting down on the couch, but from the day-to-day actions. That, you know, we all had those teachers in high school and, like, in middle school that we can think back to and be like, yeah, that guy was full of it. Like, he said one thing, but he did another. But we also had, like, this intrinsic, like, recognition of the teachers that walk the walk, so to speak, you know, that they did, that what they expected from you, they did themselves. And that is the model that we are going to have to use as parents. We are going to have to first, you know, recognize this idea of like, hey, you know, these are the problems that I'm facing. These are the challenges that I'm facing. You know, and if you have a wife or if you're, you know, your husband there, hopefully like there's two parents in the household, and then you have to have that support system with between each other of, you know, I pray all the time, like, Lord, help me, please protect my daughter, even if it's from me. If that makes sense. If my anger is ever at a point, like obviously it's not really going to happen now because she's, you know, she's an infant, but if my anger ever boils over to the point where like, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to spank this girl. Please protect her from me. God, please show me like, hey, you're out of line right now. Go cool down. Your head's not where it needs to be. Go take a walk. Let your wife take over for a bit and come back when you can show the child, you know, a more fruitful and a more appropriate response in order to deal with that problem or whatever's happening. And and the research shows, and I think like this is like from what I've seen from like better parents, like, you know, parents that I saw when I was growing up, that those were the tactics that they used. Like, of course they would get upset with their kids. They'd get annoyed, but they'd be like, okay, I'm going to just walk away. I can't even talk to you right now. I'll be back. You know, and that is amazing. We're human beings. Like we're none of us are perfect. You're going to be upset with your kids. And, you know, Dr. Jordan Peterson has like these two phrases I think are amazing, which is like, don't let your children do anything that will make you dislike them. And then also if you're disciplining while upset, you waited too long. And, you know, my wife and I are always doing evaluations and like always like researching and trying to find like what's the best methods, like what can we do as parents to like make her life great, you know, and make her life better than we had it. And that's like the goal as parents, right? Is like give your child tools and resources that you didn't have, you know, and you learn those lessons of like, hey, this is how you're going to set up your finances. Hey, this is how you're going to recognize food, you know, cook, clean. And make sure that you can take care of yourself. Make sure that you have all these things in life that you need, like creativity and, you know, a sense of drive, discipline, all those things that are totally necessary. And again, we can't just teach those things to the child by telling them. We have to show them. We have to do those things with them. We have to connect with them. Just like I talked about earlier, how we have to show up 100% to the marriage. Well, we also have to show up 100% for our children. You know, we can't be addicted to our phones and then expect them not to be addicted to technology and to devices. We can't have our finances in disarray and then expect for them to have healthy relationship with finances and spending. You know, we can't, as a couple, you know, as the married couple, have distrust and friction in our marriage and disconnection and not show our daughter what that looks like, because children observe these things and they can sense it, and then they can form their ideas based off of what their own only experience is. And that is what they take away. What we do with them is what they take away. So that all starts from a mindset of not looking to punish, not looking to yell, but higher order thinking, problem solving, discourse, conversation, and allowing the child to be heard and recognized and their needs validated and their perspective validated. It's like, yeah, I understand. Yeah, you're upset. Okay, well, let's talk about it. Why are you upset? Okay, and then let them, and I think another really powerful thing is letting them decide what the corrective course of action could be, or what can they do to fix it, and not always giving them the answer, And this is something that my wife is really great at with her kids, like when she's teaching, which is like, yeah, okay, I see you're upset. I see you. You're upset. Understood. And just recognizing them and seeing and validating, yeah, you're upset. That's okay. We're going to move through it. It's not forever. It's temporary. But what can we do so that we can, what can you do to fix the situation? Because that takes introspective. That gives them ownership of their problems. And we can make the home, our home, a safe place to make mistakes, a safe place to be vulnerable, and a safe place for the children to see, like, man, mom and dad really helped me really coached me through life. They really gave me those skills by showing me those skills, you know. And it's just like anything. If you're at work, if you had a new job, right? And someone's like, oh yeah, go ahead and go do that thing. Well, I don't know what it is. I don't know how you guys do things here. Well, it's the same thing with the child. We have to show them X, Y, and Z and do it with them and check in with them. And when they're ready to take the training wheels off, we let them make those decisions on their own. And there's a lot of really great resources out there that that are really great for parents. There's like What to Expect When You're Expecting. There's one that I'm reading now. It's I think it's Raising Good People or Raising a Good Person or something like that. There's so many different resources now for this new generation of children. And I'm really hopeful about it. I know like people like to bash like Gen Z. And there's a lot to bash them about because they got all this like kind of like weird stuff going on. But the ones that have good, healthy parents, I think are doing an amazing job. And I'm really looking forward to an era where child abuse and corporal punishment for children is a thing of the past. Because I think that it does so much trauma to children. You know, I know that like for me, it's something that I think about very often, actually. I think about it very often now, especially that I have a daughter. I don't think I thought about it as much until she came along. And I think that's another really important thing that children bring about is like they force you to revisit your childhood and mend the wounds and like the disconnect that you have with the things that happened to you when you were a child. And those are the things that I learned in the last few weeks of researching this topic and trying to come up with new ways and a new perspective. And I guess if we were to kind of like crystallize it, it could be check your emotions, check how you're feeling, recognize where you're at. Don't beat yourself up for it. Everybody gets upset. Everyone gets annoyed, angry at their children at all stages of their lives. But recognize it. Check yourself. See, like, hey, why am I feeling this way? And move beyond it with mindfulness. Move beyond it with higher order thinking, a strategy, a tactic that goes beyond just corporal punishment, punishment, yelling, and being reactive and emotional towards your children. I think it's really healthy, I've seen with a lot of parents that they can voice like, hey, I'm feeling really annoyed right now. You're making me upset, or I'm feeling really upset. And let me cool down for a couple minutes and we can revisit this like I was talking about earlier. And once you come to that state and you go beyond it, well, now is the time that we can really make an impact with our children by modeling them for them what problem solving looks like, what having a dialogue looks like. And if our children see us regulating our emotions like that, then they will pick up on those habits. And those habits will become and those tools will become available for them instead of the tools that we were given. Okay, so with that, we're going to sign off for this week, and we'll have another episode or two for you guys next week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. My name is Drake. I'm sorry for the yawning that occurred, but it's been a long day. And I'm really glad to be able to be with you guys and give you guys this content. If you like it, give us a like, give us a subscribe. And yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you guys next time. And yeah, of course, share the content with people that you think will like it. And we'll see you guys next time. My name is Drake for Engaging Walk. Well, have a good weekend, you guys.